Tim, would you recommend Halloween?
Absolutely not.
Ends? Yeah.
Especially if you're a fan of the franchise. You know, a lot of times we would be like, if you're really a fan of the franchise, you know, maybe give it a watch. If you're a fan of the franchise, do not watch.
Don't watch the last one and don't watch this one. Watch 2018 and then just fucking stick a pin in it. It's done. Welcome back, Quidgets, to another before and after with no before part, because I didn't schedule us to go talk about this movie. But I think we talked about it the last movie on a review, and so just take that as the before.
Yeah.
Halloween Ends. Uh-huh. That is the final countdown for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's start out by saying what a fucking terrible naming sequence.
Yes.
Holy shit. Just like an overall review of the movie, Tim, what did you think?
I think it's actually a fitting title for the movie. But they just forgot to finish writing the rest of it. The full title should be Halloween Ends with a Whimper.
So I was texting, I like gave Truckin' and Tuckin' got like a live tweeting. Oh, of this
man.
Movie. I didn't want to send that. It to you because I, you know,
I need to see that.
Yeah. I'll send it to you. Did you also live tweet it to him? Cause that'd be very funny. No.
That would have been hilarious. Cause he would have got one on one day, then one on the next day.
Yeah. My review of this movie is that it's an interesting concept and a just abysmal execution.
I have an inkling of that, but I think even the concept that is interesting is barely there.
It is. Yes, it is barely there. But like, so let's hop into plot.
Sure.
Halloween Kills opens up with a cold open about a Halloween 2019. This babysitter inadvertently kills a kid who's a worthless piece of shit.
I have some notes. My first note for this movie is please kill that kid. My second note for this movie is just, yes.
Yeah!
But it took forever. Not well paced.
It didn't take quite as long as when they kill Rachel in The Dark Knight, but it did take quite a while. Yeah. So that's the cold open. And then we fast forward. It's now been 4 years since Halloween 2018. Mm-hmm. And Laurie Strode in 40 years was not able to overcome any of her problems. No. But in the last 4 years, she's become happy-go-lucky, raindrops falling on my head montage from Spider-Man 3.
Baking and...
Yeah, like, I'm baking you a pie for Halloween. Aren't you going to the Halloween party, honey?
Yeah.
She meets the kid who inadvertently killed the other kid. His name's Corey.
Corey.
Yeah, and... He gets injured. She takes him to her granddaughter's hospital where she works. She gets them introduced. Mm-hmm. They start dating. He runs into Michael Myers, and Michael Myers somehow like activates his almonds into making him a fucking psycho murderer.
Yeah.
And then he goes on a psycho murdering spree, and then he gets Michael Myers out of retirement, who then goes to fight Laurie Strode because it's a Halloween film.
Yes.
And then he gets killed. The end. That's the plot of the movie. Yeah. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
Spoiling the first 3.5 minutes of this stream. So that's the plot. Like, it's a pretty threadbare plot. Like, it's mostly the characters dealing with their emotions and stuff. And I kept hoping the movie was going to get better. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Halloween 2018, they did the. Actually, let's save that for our script doctor segment. Let's not get into it.
That's my favorite segment.
I love script doctor. I mean, do you have anything more about the plot?
I'm trying to think of stuff that is not script doctor based. Okay. Yeah. What happened? What was the, so 2018, yeah, it's been 40 years. Lori's life is messed up, but she had a daughter.
She tried to have normalcy, as neurotic as she was.
Yeah, yeah. The podcasters are doing a podcast. Michael comes back and goes on a killing spree.
Like, he gets triggered, though. Like, he's been dormant for the last 40 years, and then they bring him his mask.
Yes.
And that triggers him in, like, turns the evil back on.
Yeah.
So then he hunts them down to get his mask, and then he goes to Haddonfield and just starts killing.
Yes.
Like, him being a killer is, I guess this movie explains it, but it also explains why he was dormant for 40 years. But because the mask was taken away. And that was the thing. Like, when he was a child, he put on the clown mask to kill his sister, and they took it away. And that was one of the interesting concepts in the Rob Zombie Halloween movie, was that Michael created all these masks in incarceration because he doesn't want to be himself. He wants to be this formless thing. And so, like, the opportunity to get that back makes him, it's like motive, means, and opportunity. That's every crime. So his motive is to get his mask back. His means that he's being transferred on Halloween for no fucking reason. And the opportunity is the fact that he's like an evil monster that can kill anything.
Yeah. I guess.
And this movie doesn't really have that for Michael, at least.
No. So then the second movie, Halloween Ends. Laurie's in the hospital the whole movie. And so it's all about the surviving victims of the original attacks wanting to get revenge on Michael for screwing up their lives. But the movie, like, drops and fails at that premise the whole time. And they all end up dying anyways.
Yeah.
Because Michael gets out of the burning house, and they go after him. Like, they end up killing the wrong dude, which is
happened before in these movies.
It has happened before. And so at the end of the movie, he's like killed all of them, and he goes and kills the granddaughter's boyfriend, kills the mom. Lori is like helpless watching him do this, and he leaves.
Yeah.
He disappears. Nothing that happened in the second movie, other than the boyfriend and mom dying,
is relevant
to the third movie.
No,
absolutely nothing.
Cause the other thing is that the second movie establishes that, like, Michael's motive is to get back to his sister's room to look out the window.
Yeah. He wants to go back to his house.
And so then the question is, like, after he gets beaten by all those people, why wouldn't he go back to his sister's room and look out the window?
Yeah.
Instead, he goes and hides in a sewer drain for forever. So, like, this movie is bad, but the last movie that someone said, like, I heard this one's way better than the second one. And I think they did the same fucking thing they did with Prey, where they made the last one. The last one was bad. So bad. The fact that this one is competent, it's like, this is fucking artistic.
But it's only barely competent.
So
one of my problems with the second movie that I have with that I also have with this movie is that they think of a theme, right? So they come up with a theme for the movie, and then do nothing with it, or do something that is kind of similar but not really the same thing. So, like, Kills, the second one, is supposedly about survivor trauma.
Yeah.
Now imagine, so at, you remember there's the scene in the second one where, like, they're killing Michael, and then he gets back up and just murders John all
Wicks
of them. John Wicks them all. Imagine if instead that movie was actually about survivor trauma, and, like, and Tommy was the main character instead of, you know, another guy to be killed off. Really, he was kind of the main character of that movie. Michael Anthony Hall
as playing close him. As we got, yeah,
as close as you got. But imagine he was the actual, you know, Laurie's in the hospital, and it's this one's about Tommy. Imagine if, like, his thirst for revenge against Michael leads him to like this public street, you know, showdown of him and Michael, and he ends up killing Michael. And then, you know, you do that zoom out. He's got, you know, he's covered in blood, and he's like just realizing what he has done to himself. And Michael gets away somehow, right?
Yeah.
They cart him off to the morgue and he escapes, right? But like they never like they put that little inkling in of like what the theme is supposed to be, and then they forget about it. And this movie does the same thing. Does the same thing while also forgetting what the themes of the other movies are.
Yeah.
Like what was the Halloween 2018, it was like, yeah, Laurie was right. She was right. He came back, and killed all these people.
The more I kind of think about it, 2018's not like a perfect movie.
No, it's not, but it's really good.
It has flaws, but it is really good. And, I think one of the big ones is the weird turn where Loomis's successor is now also crazy and he like stabs the cop and then that whole thing is just really seems like they put that in there because when they made him, you know, so many of the eliminated sequels, it's about like Michael has this tie to Laurie and so he must destroy her because they're related, and they got rid of that plot thread, but they still need that showdown to happen. Mm-hmm. So they made a movie where that's not his motivation, and so they're like, oh shit, we need to make them show down. She lives in the middle of nowhere. He's in the city. How do we make this happen? Oh, the doctor's in fucking nut job.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, like it's like the second movie never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there was a weird thing that happened a couple times. It happened once and I was like, okay, that person's crazy. But then it happens again. Do you remember the scene when in this movie where Laurie's grocery shopping,
mm-hmm.
and she's flirting with the cop?
Yeah.
And then she leaves the grocery store.
And the woman yells at her for no reason.
Yeah. The woman does the thing that, the lady does in, Civil War.
Yes.
Where she's like, you killed my son.
Yeah.
By saving the day. When did that happen?
That late? I was like, was that lady in a prior movie?
She was. She's the lady that gets stabbed with the fluorescent light bulb in the neck.
I have no recollection of that.
It's like the first kill in two. It's a
two, which is technically three because this is four, because Halloween is two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the one that gets stabbed with a fluorescent light bulb. Mm. It's a decent kill.
No, it's not. She didn't die.
Well, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, and then it happens again. Like Alice, like the daughter or the granddaughter is is mad at her for like egging on Michael all this time or whatever.
Yeah,
like they introduced that plot point in this movie. The whole town hates Laurie for bringing Michael back.
Yeah, so that was weird because they do the same thing where the Corey kid, so he inadvertently kills this kid on Halloween night, and then like the town assigns to him the evil that is like Michael Myers.
But they don't go far enough with that concept.
They don't really ostracize him. So they do the scene where Laurie's leaving the grocery store and she gets into an altercation with the black lady. Shocking. Yeah. And then I don't remember if that was before. That's after. I think that's before. Then Corey and the granddaughter are at this Halloween party, and he's wearing this mask the whole time. He's like having a good time, mm-hmm. and then he goes to the bar to get a drink. And the mother of the kid he inadvertently killed is there, wearing the same fucking costume she wore on Halloween 2019.
Yeah.
You fucking cheap, bitch. You fucking cheap. And she like has this altercation with him where it's basically the same thing. Like, how dare you like live your life and be happy?
Yes.
Because Laurie's smiling when she leaves the grocery store and he's smiling because he found this big kid girl likes to jump up and down and wear sheer shirts. And Who wouldn't smile at that point?
No, of course not. Yeah.
At one point, he's like laying on the floor and she's like dancing over him. Like,
I thought he was going to have a
skirt. What the fuck is going on?
That was a weird scene.
It was a very weird scene.
I thought what was like in my mind, what was going on was like, oh, he's having a seizure at one point. Then I'm like, oh no, he's crazy.
But he's not.
But because like the shot, like he gets up and she's like out of frame and mm-hmm. he grabs his sweater from the pool table and goes off and like goes to order a drink. And I was like, has he been, I thought it was going to be, Joker.
Yeah. Where the end of Joker doesn't exist.
Not where she doesn't exist, but like it's been in his mind the whole time.
Yeah. That would have been a better twist. Yeah. So she gets in this altercation and she's like, how dare you be happy? You did all this stuff. You know, all mm-hmm. my pain. And I was like, oh, is this going to be something where like, so that Lori and the kid can like, they have this in common now. They can identify. Yeah. We're supposed to identify. But then the rest of the movie is just like, granddaughter, he's pure evil. He must be destroyed.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
The movie. So let's transition to character, because that's, I think, what this movie is really more about.
Yeah.
And it's
I have two alternate titles for this movie.
Yeah.
The first one is not funny. It's so it's Halloween, subtitle Consequences.
Mm.
This is like 30, 45 minutes into the movie when I thought about this, because like that's where this is all, like this is all, that's all what this stuff's about. The other one was, I think you kind of already said, it was Halloween, let's talk about our feelings.
Yeah, so I when my text with Trekking and Tucking, 30, I said, I texted him 30 minutes in watching the movie. I said, I'm watching Halloween, 30 minutes in, one kill.
Oh, okay.
Not by Michael Myers, and Michael Myers has not yet appeared.
I have a similar note. 45 minutes in, there's been two murders.
And then I said, what we have gotten is a story where granddaughter and Lori are both trying to get laid. Because even while watching the movie, I have no idea what that character's name is. She's just granddaughter to me.
Yeah.
And then I said, 42 minutes in, first sighting, two kills, neither by Michael.
Yep.
Nearly an hour in, a third kill, finally by Michael, but with a massive assist.
Yeah.
And then he said, yeah, they're both going to try to get laid to rest by Michael. It was all over their advertising for this disaster. So I was basically just sending him kill counts. Kills 4 and 5, 1 hour, 5 minutes, one by Michael, finally unassisted. 1 hour, 20, kills 6 through 10, one by a third killer. Now it seems to be off to the races. Two more in just a few minutes, 25 minutes left in the movie. I've got a feeling the deaths are done. Then I said, and a suicide. Wait, wasn't dead. Now killed by Michael.
Yeah.
Kill 14, Michael Myers. And that's not Michael Myers getting kill 14. He's the 14th kill in the film.
Yeah.
And someone was like, there are 18 kills in the film because they show three dead bodies at one point, or four dead bodies. Because there's like this whole opening prologue.
The montage. Yeah, yeah.
Montage about like how bad things happen. And so people want to ascribe evil to them. And it's like a woman hangs herself on Halloween and two guys get shot in the head on Halloween. They say, Michael coming back. And so character wise, you have granddaughter, Lori,
Corey,
Michael Myers, and then you just kind of have window dressing characters. Like you have asshole doctor, you have slutty nurse, you have the four random teenagers, you have mom and dad of Corey.
Yes, yeah.
You have radio guy.
I think it's mom and stepdad.
Whatever it is,
that's the vibe I got.
Radio guy, and then you have like the random homeless dude, and you have like miscellaneous people at parties.
They're people that are going to end up dying.
Yeah, and so of all like 90% of those have no the kids. The whole inciting incident of Corey like meeting Lori is these teenagers want him to buy a beer, and he tells them no, and then they're like they bully him like they would a freshman.
Yes, even though he's much older than them.
Yeah, he's like 22. Like the whole thing is laughable.
Yeah.
And then they get into an altercation, and he gets glass in his hand.
Yes.
And that's why he meets the daughter. And then when they have the altercation at the bar, he leaves and runs into them again, and they throw him off a bridge, and that's how he meets Michael.
Yeah.
And so he meets Michael.
You know what my favorite part about those bullies are?
What?
Is it like two jocks and two cheerleaders?
No. Oh, it's like a diversity grouping. It's a
diversity grouping of the marching band kids.
Losers, yeah.
They're marching band kids. One of them is kind of jock. The lead guy is jockish, right? He's got the Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
But then like one dude is the like...
He's a drummer. He just carries around drumsticks.
But he's like... He's got the weird haircut, the tie-dye shirt. He's like super, super weirdo kid. And then there's like a
fat white girl and a black chick.
Yeah.
Who have, they have no development.
No.
At all.
Not even like a window dressing of like, here's your stereotype.
So when they get killed, it's just like, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So they like drive upon him because the plot needed them to, and they get into like a bit of a fight. They throw him off a bridge. The bridge doesn't seem to cross anything. It's just a bridge over like a field, which is really weird. Michael drags him into his lair underneath in the sewers,
Yeah.
Or the storm drains, and then doesn't kill him right away. And he
it could have been done better, but he kind of like looks into his eyes.
That's after he's already dragged him into he's dragged him in. So it's middle of the night.
Yeah.
He drags him into the storm drain.
Oh, and then just
kid wakes up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Corey wakes up and then he's like trying to get out. And when he's trying to get out, Michael grabs him by the neck.
Yeah.
And he like looks into Michael's eyes and we see the montage of all the bad things that have happened to him.
Yeah.
And that like, flips a switch in his brain. It's almost like Jason Goes to Hell, where there's the heart and the heart
it possesses people.
Possesses people into getting you back to Crystal Lake. And that like puts the evil in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leaves there and kills a homeless man. This is 45 minutes into the movie, by the way.
Yeah,
we're a full halfway through this movie and we're only just now starting to see deaths.
Yeah.
And then he goes on, his rampage is he kills the homeless guy inadvertently, kind of.
Well, the guy was attacking him with a knife.
Yeah. Then there's the granddaughter's ex-boyfriend who looks like he's 50.
That was what I was doing
during the movie. I Googled how old this actress is. She's 28. I could not find out how old that actor was, but I was like, she's supposed to be like 22, 24. This dude looks like he's older than us.
Yes. I don't know.
I thought he, when there's a scene where he like pulls her over early.
Yeah. Right in the beginning. Yep.
And he's like, I guess he's another character we forgot about. He's like, hey, I pulled you over cause you're too goddamn gorgeous. Why are you fucking call me bitch? I want to put my penis in you.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's
a weirdo, creepy cop.
And then at one point she's like, yeah, we dated. And I go, what the fuck? That's a girl with some daddy issues right there.
Oh, she's got issues. Because here's the other thing, right? Corey is like the new central.
He's the new shape.
I think the whole idea
of the movie is that like the shape is not Michael Myers. The shape is whoever has the evil.
Whoever has the shape. The devil's eyes. Which is
a theme that's interesting, but completely abandoned, like you talked about.
Yeah. His life is so comically rough in this movie.
Yeah. No, that's my problem is that Michael Myers is scary because he's just killing.
Uh-huh.
He has no purpose. He can't be reasoned with. He can't be bought. He's a Terminator. But Corey, his rampage, he kills the homeless guy kind of inadvertently. He's being attacked and it happens.
Yeah.
Then there's an altercation with the granddaughter. Let's call her Lori Jr. In the diner because that guy, the ex-boyfriend's an asshole. So he lures the ex-boyfriend to Michael's cavern, bashes that dude in the head, holds him steady so that Michael can stab him a bunch of times, which is just embarrassing.
Yeah.
So that's kill two. Not technically him really killing anybody at this point. Three kills. He's got an assist on one. He's done two. One of them completely inadvertent, and it was a shitty kid. So, you know, come on.
Yeah.
One of them homeless guy. So, you know, come on. But then he proceeds to go. You find out that Lori Jr. doesn't get a promotion in her job. because it was given to redhead girl. And then you find out it's because she's sleeping with the head doctor.
Yeah.
So he goes to the head doctor's house and kills them both with Michael, which is also a very fucking weird scene. Cause like, so we're following the redhead girl. She's like going to change clothes. She puts on this like silky nightgown.
Yeah.
The doctor's out there like setting everything up. There's a sound. She's like, what's going on? She opens up the door and it's Corey killing the doctor. And
barely visible in the background, which was,
it was a really well shot. That's the other thing is that this movie didn't have, it had a couple of really, really good shot scenes,
but overall
it was not good. No, and that was one of them where it was like, he's barely lit and she's
barely
like,
lit.
What's going on? And you can kind of see
like
it.
Just shadows moving.
And it was like, that's a shot from how a Halloween movie.
Yes. Yes.
And then she like gets inside the house and locks the door and she gets away and he's banging there on the, that was the other thing is that I was hoping he was going to evolve more into being the shape where he was going to talk less, but he's like banging on the door. And he's like, his hand gets crushed. He's like, my hand. Ah!
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Michael comes out of nowhere and pins that bitch to a wall with a kitchen knife.
Like, that's like, how you do it.
What the fuck? They're working together. This is like a buddy cop film with horror killers. But even at this point, you're like, well, he killed this doctor that fucked over Laurie Jr. and he killed this bitch that fucked over Laurie Jr. While pretending to be your friend. So I'm kind of on his side. And then his next four kills are the four fucking teenagers that threw his ass off a bridge. And I'm like, am I supposed to have a problem with this guy? Because I'm kind of identifying with the serial killer.
Yeah.
And so he kills those teenagers. One of the teenagers inadvertently kills his stepdad. He goes and kills his mom because she's a bitch.
Yeah.
And then he goes to kill Lori because she doesn't want him to be with Lori Jr. Of course she doesn't want to be with Lori Jr. You're the fucking shape now. Like, that's the only part of the thing I'm like, yeah, that doesn't really make any sense, dude. What are you going to do? You're going to like fucking flee to Springfield, Illinois and start killing people there or something?
I guess.
Like, and he kills the radio station DJ that like slandered him in the media. Like, he doesn't kill anybody that doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
And like, these horror movies work on you. Oh yeah. It's the slut. It's the asshole jock. It's like, these people get it that deserve it. And you have things like Friday the 13th part 2, where they kill a dude in a wheelchair and throw his ass down a flight of steps. And you're like, that was a little extreme.
Yeah.
This movie is the exact opposite where you're like, fucking kill those fucking teenagers. Fuck them.
Yeah.
You wouldn't buy them beer, so the guy gets into a fucking assault with you. And none of those kills are particularly good.
Oh, hold on. This movie has two good scenes to me.
Okay. The credits.
In
the opening credits.
Enjoyed. The first one is, I actually enjoyed Michael getting his groove back, is what I'm calling it.
The scene where he kills the cop?
The scene where he kills the cop.
I hated that scene.
Maybe it was the way.
Does
it was,
he get his groove back? That's what this movie should. That was actually in my, what I thought this movie should be called is like Halloween 3, how Michael got his groove back.
Yeah, he does, because like, he's kind of like, you know, when he's first fighting the cop, he's not like really at full Michael's strength. And then he gets that first stab in and he does like this weird, like shake thing where he's like, I kind of like that, but it's like a 5 second moment in an otherwise pretty bad movie.
I would have liked that without the assist.
Yes.
I would have liked where the cop finds him and he's like, and Michael is like stumbling totally to fight him. And then like gets the knife and kills him. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, then he like comes like re-evolves back into the shape. And then like, his murder streak happens, but instead they like undercut it. And then because then also following that, there's a scene where Corey fights Michael and takes the mask, which is just embarrassing.
That's a bad, embarrassing scene.
Yeah.
Cause that's after like Michael has also killed people.
Yeah, he's
got two kills in. He should be full shape mode.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a weirdly shot scene. It's they use that circle shot of the sewer a lot. It like Corey just like goes in. It's like, it's basically if someone walked into your house, punched you in the face,
and tried
like,
to
right
take
now,
my hat.
Right now, someone walked into your house, you did nothing. They punch you in the face, shoved you off the chair and goes, I'm on the podcast now. That's what he does. He goes in there, he punches him, grabs the mask. He's like, you're not doing this right. I'm doing this.
Yeah. Do you have anything more on character?
Well, I was going to say the best part of this, my favorite part of this movie, there was one good kill. Welding torch to the mouth.
But it's an interesting kill.
I had a visceral reaction to that. The way you have visceral reactions to good kills in slasher movies.
But
you're shit.
Didn't feel like it was good because it was like completely out of focus. Like we're seeing it through the perspective of that other character. That's the other thing is like the movie is through our killer's perspective, which skews how you perceive the victims.
Yeah.
As opposed to,
the original. Well, and I also wanted that kid to die. So yeah.
So I wanted to see him die, though. I didn't want to see him like out of focus in the foreground while he sees the fat bitch under the fence. Uh-huh. Just be like, oh.
Yeah, I think that was the outstanding kill of the movie, followed by the DJ kill.
The DJ kill was brutal. It felt like they pulled their punches because we see it mostly from behind until he cuts the dude's tongue out.
Which was also a little, I think that was a little overkill.
That was a little gratuitous.
But it was Corey, and I think they could have gone somewhere or said something where like Corey's killings are different. Like Michael wouldn't cut someone's tongue out after he smashed their face in,
I guess.
And the radio station was live. If Corey could have said something into the mic, the riling the town up where like pussy, Michael, bitch Michael,
the pussy. Yeah. Ran the pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it was a disappointing film.
It's super disappointing. Yeah.
So let's swap into exposition. Cause I think that's where the movies was really disappointing to me,
yep.
Which was that, much like the original movie had that whole long prologue section that didn't need to be there. And this movie felt the need to do the movie opened and it's like, my name is Laurie Strode in 1978. I'm like, I fucking saw the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't wander in this movie. Like, what's this Halloween Ends business? Mm-hmm. Let me see what's going on. Oh my God. She was attacked as a child. What if they made a prequel about that?
Yeah.
Like, talking about dumb audiences, it's like this is made for people. Tony was arguing on that Halloween 2018 is Halloween 2, but I disagree because Halloween is a fucking soft reboot. You don't need the original movie.
No, you're totally right. It's a soft reboot.
And so that's Halloween. That's 2. This is 3.
Mm-hmm.
And Halloween 1978 is a prequel.
And this is Halloween 3 part 2.
No,
I don't know if you can see that.
I can see your shirt.
Yeah.
Why does it say part 2 on it?
Because it's a poster for part 2.
There's a part 2 of Halloween 3?
On this shirt there is.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating in that. So the whole movie is like exposition because they have to constantly keep explaining why things are happening. Like
Finding a way to write it into the movie and show you.
Yeah. Like we have to, there's these extraneous scenes where like he gets into the fight with the DJ so that we can then kill the DJ later.
Mm-hmm. They do a little bit, but they could have gone farther with like the DJ, like, slandering him and, calling him terrible things.
Imagine if we had like a montage, like the Kyle.
Yeah, you're script doctoring.
You're correct. Yeah. So which
I will say it's hard to talk about this movie without script doctoring.
It is because again, like you just want, it's one of my favorite. It might be the first horror franchise that I ever engaged in. And it's still to this day, like we can joke about how Halloween 3 is an unwatchable nightmare, but Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, 5, 6, Halloween H2O, Halloween Resurrections. Like, uh-huh. We joke about how bad they are, but there's like a charm there.
Yeah.
There's a charm that is missing from Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends.
Yes.
Like, this movie had no charm. I don't really care. It's like, it was 90 minutes and it was like, thank God it's 90 minutes. But at the same time, it's like, there's stuff missing. So the daughter's now a nurse. I guess that doesn't really particularly matter, but like Lori just being over her problems is fucking shocking.
Yes.
It almost feels like this movie should have been H2O, right?
Yeah.
I'm like franchise doctor.
Sure. Franchise doctorate.
This movie should have been H2O where Michael comes back. She like tried to live a normal life. Michael comes back. She like defeats him, but he gets away. She's like, he's coming back. She loses her mind. And then Halloween 2018 happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she had a normal life and then she kind of blew it all away in trying to like fix this. And then the movie ends with her actually killing Michael.
Yeah.
But they try to do that. The whole thing feels out of order and out of sequence and just bizarre. And so we have to like explain those kinds of things. And we have to like give Corey his whole backstory. And the exposition, I think, works negatively for the movie because, again, he doesn't deserve any of the treatment that he's gotten. Like, yeah, he kills the kid. So the way he kills his kid, the kid locks him in the attic.
In the attic.
He's like, let me out, let me out, let me out. Okay, I'm going to kick this door down. He kicks the door like 11 times.
Yeah.
The kid's standing right in front of the fucking door. Kid gets nailed with the door, and somehow the kid's height in relative to the railing getting hit with the door, instead of just smashing him against the railing, causes him to flip over the railing and fall to his death just at the moment that his parents are walking home.
Yeah.
Like, you're shitty parents, you raised a shitty kid, your shitty kid got what he fucking deserved. And then it's like explained that it went to trial and he was acquitted because it was a fucking freak accident.
Yeah.
But then people, because of this, also in exposition explanation of people being afraid that Michael Myers is back and ascribing any crime on Halloween to Michael Myers.
Yep.
The town is like, we hate you. You're like Michael Myers. But then it's really just like, nobody gives a shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they tell us all this stuff to explain why the plot happens, but then none of it really lands because none of it actually matters.
Yep.
Like they're more what makes him evil is the fact that he, like, oh God, I want to get into script doctoring, but I'm not going to. So, yeah, that's my problem with the exposition there's too much of it to explain why things are happening.
Yes.
And then,
It doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah. And there's like this whole voiceover from Lori because she's writing a book.
And it happens like a second time and I rolled my eyes. It happens halfway through the movie, like a second time. And I rolled my eyes.
It's embarrassing. And I'm really, really, really done with films showing me footage from prior films in the franchise.
Yeah. Because you know what it does? It makes me want to go watch those instead.
Yeah. I mean, I want to watch Halloween 1978.
Yes.
And then 2018.
Yeah.
And then I'll watch Halloween 1978 and then Halloween 2.
Uh-huh.
And then 4, 5, 6. Then I'll watch Halloween 1978.
I almost just bought all of them on 4K.
Halloween 2, Halloween H2O, Halloween Resurrections.
But then I'll watch
Halloween 2002 or 2008, whatever that one is.
And Rob Zombie.
I'm really starting to lean more into the Rob Zombie movie is better than these other movies. And that's fucking embarrassing because I hated it almost as much as Halloween 3.
The Rob Zombie movies are not good, but at least Rob Zombie, like, has a vision and knows what he wants a movie to be.
I disagree with his vision, which is why I didn't like the movie.
Yeah.
But he did a good job.
Yes. And making his vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, pacing. You want to talk about pacing? I mean, I think I've kind of like, I gave the numbers on the kills. There's like this accelerationism to deaths, but it takes so long to get to, like,
and there's no tension between any of them.
Yeah. Death one is in the first 5 minutes. You're like, all right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Let's go. Good.
But it's completely unrelated. And in fact, in the first half hour of the movie, I was like, is that going to factor into anything that happens to the rest of this film? Because the last movie, they did that prologue and it meant nothing.
It meant nothing.
This one at least tied in. But then, 45 minutes in, another guy dies and it's like this this accident, you go, okay. And then Michael finally gets his kill in what, an hour? How long after that is that? Is that an hour in?
It's at least an hour in.
Four and five, won by Michael finally. Third kill nearly an hour in.
Yeah.
This is a 90 minute movie. It's like 98 minutes.
It's 110.
Oh, so it's almost 2 hours.
Or maybe it's 100.
It's not very long.
It's like 145, I think. It's like 145.
I searched the wrong fucking.
Yeah, because they have terrible names.
God, they have such bad names. Sorry to be ain't no fact checking on this show, but I want to get the numbers right as far as like how long this actual movie. It's hour 51 minutes, so it's almost two hours.
Yeah.
So you're more than halfway through, and you've only got three of the 18 or 19 kills, because I guess they kills the radio DJ like receptionist too.
We barely see it
on screen. I didn't count that in my list because it's not a kill that we see, and it's not a kill that's revealed. Like that, that's a Halloween kill.
Yep.
Someone's like, I'm gonna go get booze from the kitchen, and then they disappear, and then they like find their body pinned to a wall. That's a Halloween kill. Yeah. Someone who just gets killed in the background and like you see a commotion and then he just does another kill. That's not really a Halloween kill. So it takes forever to get going. It's about this other character. He ends up stabbing himself in the neck so that he can make Laurie and,
so he can make Laurie look like the murderer.
Yeah.
But
surely like, within 2 days, they'd be like, these four teenagers with Corey got killed. The radio DJ that fucked with Corey got killed. Corey's parents got killed.
Why
would Laurie kill all these people? I don't know.
Well, no. So the movie doesn't even do a good job of explaining itself. Here's my take on that. He stabbed himself so that when Laurie Jr. walks in, it looks like Laurie just killed her boyfriend, which the boyfriend said, your grandma wants to kill me, which is why they're fighting. And she gets in and she sees Laurie holding a bloody knife. Her boyfriend's dying on the floor. She's like, oh, how could you? And she runs off. I'll tell you how she could have, if she would have looked down on the floor in about 2 or 3 feet away from the body of her boyfriend was the Michael mask.
Yeah. And he's wearing the overalls.
Like, your grandma's not wearing the Michael mask. What do you think happened here?
Also, he's got two gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think happened here? You think he came over to have a nice talk with your grandma and she went crazy and stabbed him? Or is it much more likely that he's insane, dressed himself up like the guy that killed your mother and went to go kill your grandma?
Well, not to mention, I don't think it's a good long-term strategy.
Yeah, that too.
Cause like, yeah, she runs out and then like Tuesday on the news are like, Corey, whatever his name was, killed 17 people in Haddonfield this weekend. If you remember, he killed a kid a couple of years ago and everyone said he was crazy. And turns out you guys were fucking right. Anyway, there's a backup on Highway 65. It's going to be 75 degrees and sunny. This is WRUP. It's the whole movie is silly as far as that. So the pacing, it takes forever to kind of get anywhere. It's all this interpersonal relationship stuff, which isn't really interesting because nobody in this movie can act. We usually don't talk about that, the performance side of things, but holy shit is the acting bad, which just makes everything feel like it's drawn out super far.
Yep. I feel like none of these, and maybe it was because they shot this movie, during a LA lockdown, which is the only way I can explain why it feels like these people have never met before the camera started rolling and they said their lines.
That was so
no one has any chemistry.
That was another thing that I was shocked when I looked up the Laurie Jr. actress and found out she was 28. I thought for sure she was like 22.
Oh, I was thinking, yeah. She can play a lot younger than she actually is.
Well, yeah, but her level of acting I thought was so bad that I was like, this girl has to be like right out of college.
Yeah,
has to be like, and I also thought it was weird because I didn't think she was bad in
the other
the ones. Original.
In the original.
2018.
No, in that movie. That movie has much more charismatic actors. Her friend group, where they're kind of like, they're like not memorable, but they were, but you know, you watch that movie, they're not stereotypes for the most part. Right. Cause the two friends she hangs out with is like a quirky gay guy and the fat kid that likes her and her boyfriend. And then like the hot blonde. But like the hot blonde isn't a cheerleader, right?
And she actually like, cause she babysits the black kid. The black kid was in this movie.
He's hilarious. He's in the last part of the movie.
Yeah. He shows up when they like march the body into the procession. The grinder.
Yeah.
And they showed the kid and I was like, oh, that's the kid from the first movie. But then I was like, are people going to know that?
Cause I know it like because he was like,
one of the best characters.
He's a great character in that movie.
But then also like the whole, the archetype is that the blonde cheerleader should just be like, go to bed. I don't have sex with my boyfriend, but she's like
cool
and interacts with that kid. And then when Michael comes up, she's like, you got to get out of here. And like kind of sacrifices herself to save the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, that's not one of those deaths where you're like, she deserved it.
Yeah, exactly. And, kind of like the fat sad kid in that movie, like I didn't deserve it. But then they didn't kill the boyfriend, and like the boyfriend absolutely deserved it. The whole fucking franchise is fucked with those three movies. They should just cancel them. Well, you know, 20 years Halloween H6O.
Yep,
it'll be great. It's Lori will be a geriatric. She's already a geriatric. She'll be 80. Back when I was a little girl, I'm still haunted by these memories. Jesus Christ, Grandma. It's been almost since the Titanic sank that this happened to you. I gotta go fight Michael. Luckily, this time I brought a minigun. Except it's on her wheelchair, so, and it's like only mounted to one side. She just spins in a circle around, and really kills everyone.
That's like a scene from Zombieland 3. A minigun on a wheel. Someone in a minigun wheelchair killing a bunch of zombies.
Oh no. Anyway. Plot pacing, exposition, character. What do we got left? Design.
It's real bland.
It is very bland.
It's real bland. The first 2018 has like some memorable shots in it.
Yeah.
The scene. One of my favorites being the whole sequence, the whole gas station sequence.
Oh, that sequence is brutal. There's the one shotter inside the neighborhood that's great.
Yes.
There's the house, the stuff in the house late in the film is all shot amazingly. Uh-huh. And this movie,
it's overlit.
If they hadn't used that tunnel shot so many times, the scene where he takes Michael's mask might have been a little bit more powerful. Mm-hmm. But we had already seen that shot so many times, it was just like, and you knew it was happening.
Yeah.
There's the shot where he's like killing the doctor in the darkness is memorable enough, but largely it's buried.
Yeah.
The whole movie, like the kill with the blowtorch. I was like, oh, that look, because I think I did get excited when he lit the blowtorch, like, oh, this is gonna be a good kill, and then you didn't see anything. It's like that could have been done way differently.
I like that blowtorch kill. It's just very pedestrian and sort of by the numbers. There's nothing. I mean, the shots that I think are like better than average are not where I want them.
Yeah.
Like
I think there's the sequence where Lori and Corey are talking inside the house where he killed the kid.
Yep.
And he's sitting on the stairs and he's kind of like framed by the hand railing.
Yeah.
And she's sitting on a chair leaning against the wall. But both shots, they're just center of the frame. Mm-hmm. He's center of the frame. She's center of the frame. And I was like, this could be so much more dynamic.
Yeah.
Than what you have here. Like, you have this really great visual language of him being behind these bars. Like, what mess, what is that? What do you want to say with that mm-hmm. image? But then it just being this flat, straight on podcast shot, especially look, because he's at least in profile, but Lori is just fucking straight on. She's fully leaned back. So it's not even a flattering look on her face. Like, I almost wanted to see that shot, and they probably couldn't do this because they used a real house, but like, tear out that whole wall and you have this fucking massively wide shot where she's on this chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Extreme left of frame leaned against the wall and he's there on the stairwell kind of up and not really visible.
Yeah.
And
not only that, you know where I would do it?
Where?
I would do it from two shots. I would do, well, at least two shots. One from right where the kid landed, mm-hmm. which is kind of like, right, if, because the stairs would be to the right, door is center, but you can kind of angle it to, you know, have her left of door. Or up on the top, seen through broken railing. Mm.
Yeah, but then you have to break the railing when the kid dies.
Yeah, that should have happened.
Yeah, that would have, but then that would have been a lot less, that would have been a lot more freak accident-y. I think that's why they didn't do that. Because if the railing breaks, it's like, oh, if the kid hit the railing broke, your house is bad, it's your fault. Yeah. Whereas the kid getting hit by a door and somehow freakishly flipping up and over the railing, like physics would not possibly allow, is like, that's all Corey's fault. He's the shape.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, they didn't really like enhance the Michael mask at all. They just kind of, it was,
no, it's one. Just the burn. It's the same. I think it's like more yellowy, like more like Halloween 2. Mm-hmm. And there's like blood stains on it. But other than that, it's still a good mask. I think I like it more in this one than in the last one.
See, the 2018, I think was like a great definitive. No, 2018
is the best one. Yeah. I like the one in, I seem to like it more than I liked it the last one.
Yeah. It also seemed weird they didn't destroy the mask at the end of the film.
Yeah, burn it or something.
Yeah, there's that like final shot of the mask just sitting in Lori's home. And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Because that was, so are you ready to get into script doctor mode?
Yeah.
So let's play script doctor. We need a script doctor jingle. Uh-huh. So at the end of Halloween 2018, right? Somehow Lori Jr.
Okay, it was in my head. It was Dr. Script Good.
He's the one that makes a script good. He's the one that makes a movie all right. He's the one that makes a script good. He's going to, anyway. At the end of Halloween 2018, the Lori Jr. ends up with Michael's knife. Somehow in that altercation, I don't remember exactly how.
Oh, yeah, as they're driving away, it's burning. But
then they're in the truck, and Lori's, like, bleeding out, and she's mm-hmm. got the knife in her hand, and they do this, like, weird hold on the knife, and her and the knife, and it's like, uh-huh. is the granddaughter going to become the next shape? No.
That's dumb.
That's dumb. It's so dumb. And then in this one, like, Corey gets the evil put into him.
Yep.
And he becomes the shape. And what I really wanted was for him and Lori Jr. to become like, who are the two robbers?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Bonnie and Clyde, which was the costume that they had in the original film, in the 2018 film.
Yeah.
But Bonnie and Clyde of serial killing. But it would involve taking this big titty pretty girl and making her the bad guy for the film.
Spoilers for a different slasher franchise. That's Scream 4.
Oh yeah, it is. The reboot one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not the reboot. 4. 4 is not the reboot was the one after that.
4 is a soft reboot.
It's a soft reboot, but yeah.
Yeah. Where the cousin is like doing it with her boyfriend too.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I wanted him to corrupt her. so that, like, when he killed the doctor and the nurse, I was like, ah, I was really hoping
like it would show her, like,
when, so when he's killing the doctor, right, and then she's inside the window and she's like, I'm safe, and then someone shows up, I really wanted that to be the granddaughter.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And just be like, bitch, you took this from me.
Uh-huh.
And then the two of them are on this killing spree, and then Lori has to, like, end her bloodline.
Hey, hey, that would have been more interesting than what they did.
Yeah, that's my big script fix. And it seemed like they were kind of hinting at that, and then they just didn't do it because I think they were like, oh, we can't make this pretty girl be, like, an evil thing. Uh-huh. We can make this schlubby guy the evil, the personification of evil. And so I felt that, like, that could have been fixed. I feel like we could have gotten rid of all that montage stuff. Franchise-wise, this kill almost needed to have happened in the last movie. If the Corey storyline had been introduced in the first movie,
that would have been
interesting if that was in the news in the first movie.
Or the second one, because it's the same night.
Mm-hmm. And then we, like, flash forward and see all this stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Lori being over all of her bullshit is out of nowhere. She spent 40 years fucking obsessed shooting mannequins in her yard, turning into, like, a cat lady, making her, like, ultimate trap, and then it gets foiled by a bunch of fucking firefighters.
So that is fixed, right, in my version of Halloween Kills, where Tommy does kill Michael in public.
Mm-hmm.
And if I add in your version of Corey's storyline happening in the first two, that means we don't have to introduce Corey in the beginning of the third one. And the third one is still a flashback to 2018, but it's Michael escaping the morgue or whatever.
Okay.
And so everyone thinks he's dead, has been dead for 4 years. Yeah, that's my input of how you can explain Lori finally getting over
her stuff. Yeah, yeah. If he's actually dead, then absolutely she can get over it.
Or at least she thinks he's dead.
He's perceived as dead. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 4 years. Yeah.
I feel like there's a trailer for this movie actually came out, was, like, playing on Hulu before I was watching a show after I watched it. And all of the advertising stuff is from, like, the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Yep. Yep.
Where it's like, Michael Neuer finally going to show down. And he's, like, only just kind of shows up. His whole death was embarrassing.
Yeah.
She pins him and then she slits his throat and his wrist, which is the other thing that, so at the end of Halloween Kills, Michael Myers is, like, beat to shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's down on the ground. Lori's daughter stabs him with his own knife. All those people have, like, beaten him with chains and baseball bats and stuff. And then he gets up and fucking slaughters all of them.
Yeah.
Because he's an unstoppable force and completely pure evil. And then this one, he's like, and she slits his wrist. He's like, I guess I'm dead now.
And then holds his hand.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Like, nothing make, this is not a franchise. These are three separate movies made by schizophrenics.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the producers were like, yeah, we had this idea and we put everything in the Halloween 2018, but then we had an idea for another movie, and then we made it two movies. And it's like, this is too many movies.
Yeah.
2018 was a perfect, perfect end. Lori gets her revenge. She's planned for this for years. The plan goes off without a hitch. Mm-hmm. He gets locked in the house and burns to death.
Yeah.
The end. She finally gets to live on without her demons.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh shit, this was successful as fuck. And then, of course, we know they're going to reboot the series with, like, a new Halloween, or they're going to be like, man, who fucking knows where they'll pick up, but it'll be Michael Myers will be back in his all white mask and his fucking coveralls, and he'll be killing babysitters, and that'll be whatever the next movie is. And it will just completely defeat the whole premise of this trilogy. Just like fucking putting Wolverine in the new Deadpool movie.
I think at this point, you have to go full third reboot.
Yeah.
Because Let's see.
Which will not be good because they will want to over-explain everything. So the full reboot, this is what the full reboot, Halloween, this will be what? The fourth Halloween movie?
Well, let's call it Halloween 2025.
Halloween 1-4.
Not 1+4.
Let's just skip. Halloween 14 will be a reboot of the Halloween franchise, which will be about child Michael Myers killing his sister and probably also other people. Uh-huh. And that will be the fucking movie.
Yeah.
We won't even get adult Michael Myers until the third movie of this. No. Halloween 2, which will be Halloween 2-3, because we'll just jump to 23 on this one. Uh-huh. It'll be 2-3. No, it'll be Halloween. So we had Halloween 2, which was technically a Halloween 2. So this will be Halloween 2-4.
Okay.
So we'll do Halloween 14, Halloween 24. Uh-huh. And then that one will be about Michael Myers in the asylum, killing people in the asylum.
Yeah.
And then Halloween 3, which will be Halloween 3. It'll be Halloween 32 because it'll be Halloween 33 because we had Halloween 3, the season of the witch, but then also Halloween 4 is Halloween 3, but then also Halloween.
Don't forget Halloween 3 part 2.
Kills is Halloween 3. Yeah. And that'll be when he finally breaks out and kills everyone in Haddonfield.
It's specifically Halloween 3 part 2, the legacy of Cochran.
Who's Cochran?
The bad guy.
High school.
He's the bad guy.
Tech theater teacher. He is a bad guy. You're correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be the new franchise, and it'll just be fucking terrible.
So they'll
film all three movies at the same time. So they'll just be forced to keep fucking turning them out on a Peacock.
And they'll all have like 1/3 of the budget of, you know, a cool movie. Here's why I say that. Because in Halloween 78, how old is Michael Myers when he kills his sister?
10?
Maybe like 7 or 8, I was thinking.
Oh, is he younger? Or is he 10? I don't know.
Anyways, how old is Laurie in the movie?
17?
Yeah, like she's like 16, 17.
Yeah.
So
he's 6 in the original at the beginning.
6. So he's 6 in the original movie. And if you go by Halloween 2 lore, where Laurie is the baby sister, he's 6 years older than her, making the events of Halloween 78. Michael 23. Is 23 ish. How old is Laurie in this movie?
In Halloween Ends?
Halloween Ends.
So she would have been 57 in 2018. So she's 61.
Michael Myers is a 67-year-old man. I mean,
I didn't even fucking think of that.
Even in 2018, it was pushing it. He has white hair in 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he's 67 in this movie and they do another movie that is a sequel but not a reboot of 78, I mean,
it'll be like,
wait, hold on. Like, no, you're right. Yeah. 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 He's at least. I'm coming to kill you. I've got the devil's eyes.
Fucking Father Time over here coming out to kill his baby sister.
My walker has knives on it instead of tennis balls.
I'm going to kill you. I have to kill you before 8 p.m. so that I can get to bed early.
I call this one the early bird special.
Yeah, it's a franchise that just needs to be let go.
Yeah.
You just need to, like, if you took this movie, right, where there's this unstoppable evil force that's like haunted a town, even this movie, there's no other Halloweens. It's just this movie, right? You have a kid that inadvertently kills another kid, a kid on Halloween. He's tried. He's found not guilty because it's a freak accident.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's like a legend in town of the shape.
Yes.
And it's this evil that, like, in, you know, 40 years ago, this guy went crazy and killed his sister.
Yeah.
And then 15 years after that, he broke out and killed another bunch of people and then just disappeared. Mm-hmm. And then, like, what happened to him? And then, so this kid, and they're like, maybe he's the new Shape.
Okay, you know? Can I script doctor? Evil. You're leading into my script doctor.
Okay, go ahead.
So, okay. I thought this movie was going places other than Bonnie and Clyde several times through. Okay. But here's my script doctor. Same opening. Imagine the kid is Corey's little brother.
Okay.
He's babysitting.
Not just random. Yeah.
It's not just a random kid. It's his little brother. Paralleling Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Because his brother is still a little shit, even more so. But I thought it was weird that, like, the little kid is bullying Corey.
Yeah.
For, like, thinking Michael Myers is real and is going to come attack them or whatever. I don't know if they were, like, is he projecting his fears because the mom said he's been wetting the bed and he's scared about Michael Myers. It was confusing.
Yeah, that was a really weird batch of exposition that then didn't seem to actually apply to the character.
Right. So imagine instead it's his little brother and he's a real little shit, specifically because this is part of the movie that, like, they kind of, like, slowly dropped, like, tinily dropped in there, but didn't really do anything with. It's cycle of violence. Michael, inflicts this violence onto Haddonfield, which in turn Haddonfield inflicts that violence into its, like, citizens, which they kind of tried to talk about in the montage with, like, the lady killing herself and the other killings going on.
They tried to do that in Halloween Kills. Those people created
the survivor guilt.
Yeah.
Yes. But they never really got into it, you know? I see that as one of these, like, that's one of these themes that they're trying to do in these these last two movies that they just kind of, like, forget about or, like, only barely touch. It's Michael inflicting the violence on Haddonfield and those people inflicting that goes back and fuels Corey's origin story. Right. Mm-hmm. So, same thing happens. He accidentally kills, but it's his little brother, right? So opening credits, not the opening credits, but the opening montage, you can still do a montage, but it's a montage about Corey. It's about him going through the court system. It's mm-hmm. about the media, right? Is this Michael Myers Jr.? Is mm-hmm. he the new Michael Myers? Is he the new boogeyman? Right. And Lori is watching the news, right? She's the kind of in the background of the montage, right? This is happening around her life. Mm-hmm. And Michael is dead from ends. So she's slowly, you know, healing or you know, getting, you know, better or whatever. But then Corey gets, you know, it takes years. The whole thing takes years, like it actually does in real life. He gets off free. So, but the town hates him. And his life is still rough, but it's not comically rough like it is in the in this one.
Where he's being bullied by children.
Where he's being bullied by children and his mother. The only person that even, like, kind of vaguely likes him other than Lori Jr. is his dad, stepdad,
yeah,
who is also his boss at work, which is probably the only reason, which, I mean, they didn't say it, but it's probably the only job he could get because of the town, like, you know, hating him and his past. Also,
maybe more good montage material is, like,
yes,
he's free. He tries to, like, start again. Right. Sorry, you know, that scholarship you up for, we're not going to give it to you.
Which he mentions at the beginning of the movie.
Job. Yeah.
Right. Also, in this version of my version, he's played by a good actor. Because
oh yeah, yeah. And by the way, everyone in this movie doesn't suck in my opinion. Yeah, yeah. So that helps it a lot.
And so his life's not comically rough because he meets Laurie Jr. and they immediately have like a spark. Yeah. And I'm like, really? This dude?
This charisma vacuum.
He's a charisma vacuum that's getting bullied by kids younger than him.
It's as inexplicable as Marty and Lorraine in Back to the Future.
Yes.
Them just like zoom, all of a sudden. It's like, yep. Are you kidding? You fell in love with the guy who was asleep in your bed? Yep.
So he meets her. She did not follow any of the trial because like, why would she?
Yeah.
She's not the one that was obsessed with Michael.
She was dealing with her own trauma of all of her friends being killed.
All of her friends and mother being killed.
Yeah.
So she purposely doesn't like go to the trial, right? Or doesn't like listen to any of the trial. She meets him and he's kind of charming instead of a weird freak because you're supposed to feel sorry for him. Right.
See, like, what if instead of him getting beaten up by kids, he like rides out in front of Lori's car and she clips his bicycle?
There you go.
Right. And then she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, let me take care of this. Yep. You know, and he's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. She's like, no, you're all scraped up. Let me,
right.
My granddaughter works at this hospital. You know, it'll be fine.
So, when they meet, she doesn't know who he is. Right. Mm-hmm. He introduces himself as Mike.
Mm. Mike Honcho?
Yeah. Yep. And so, yeah, instead of being a weird freak, he's charming. Maybe he's charming in his own way. Because the whole point of the whole, in my version of this movie, Michael comes back. Michael Myers comes back and is doing these murders that make it look like Corey is the one doing the murders.
Wait, Corey's so not, Michael's like conniving this shit?
Not conniving, but it's, you know, he has connections. Corey has connections to the people that are being off killed by Michael, like the shitty teenagers, right?
Or the parents of the kid he killed.
Right, right. Yeah. All these, and so so then you can also do like, oh, he's like flaking on Laurie Jr. at one point and he doesn't, you know, can't say where he was, maybe because, you know, he's embarrassed of wherever he was. Right.
The porn store.
Yeah. He's at the porn store. So as an audience member, you're like, wait, is he the one, you know, is, because I was thinking of
So let's say your version of this, right?
Yeah.
I think maybe their romance needs to have started like before the beginning of the movie.
Sure, sure.
And so thus like these murders start happening, right? And she's like suspicious, and where were you? And he won't tell her because he was buying a wedding ring.
Yeah, like if, you know, if you do that opening montage of like, you know, with the court system and all that, you can have, you know, oh, they have like a little meet cute and now it's 4 years later.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they get together. Is he the killer or is he just?
No, he's not the killer. It's Michael. Okay. Because otherwise, I mean, I've never liked the new batch. That's not the name of it, but like it's Friday the 13th 5.
The one where he's the Corey Feldman.
Four.
Yeah.
Where no, Corey four. Feldman, no. Four is the one with all the defenestration in it.
Yeah. Is that one? You're not talking about how it's not actually Jason doing the killing?
Yeah, that's five. Is the one where it's not Jason.
No, four is the one where it's not Jason.
You sure?
Five is the one where Tommy Jarvis stabs Jason's corpse with the thing and it gets re-electrified and he goes out and kills the paintballers. four is so Friday the 13th part. No.
Four is the one with all the defenestration. It's because three is the one with the biker gang and the farmhouse.
Three is 3D.
Yeah, it's got the biker gang.
And four is the final chapter.
Four is the final chapter. It's
five is the one with the copycat. So yeah. Six is the one where Tommy Jarvis stabs the body with the thing. Okay. Yeah. These movies are kind of confusing.
They are confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I never liked that. That's the one that I will never like rewatch if I'm rewatching the franchise because they don't acknowledge it in six and it doesn't, it's just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have Corey be like, you know, he's got the bad past and he's maybe a little shady, but he's really he's an all right guy. But
kind of like Final Destination. Do you remember how in Final Destination, that main character guy, he kept being like in the vicinity of the deaths happening. And they were like, oh, you're killing these people because you're crazy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was just, he had like solved the code. Kind of that situation where people are like, oh, it must be you because you don't have like an explanation for your whereabouts. Or like he keeps finding the bodies and that kind of stuff. Yeah. That would be a way better movie. I'd watch that again. I wouldn't watch this one again.
Me either.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one to watch over this one and Kills, which one would you watch?
If I had to choose between those two?
If you had to choose between Ends and Kills.
Oh, I think we had way more fun watching Halloween Kills.
Yeah, I would say that also.
It was like, I think it was better paced. Like it goes nowhere.
It is better paced.
It like trucks along. This one, there was like long stretches of me just being like,
same.
Why could I possibly fucking care about you dating this fucking weirdo? And why are you dating this weirdo?
Yeah, that's weird. That's like that. I mean, that's kind of the one of the reasons I wanted to like fix Corey in the movies because, like we don't see Laurie Jr. going through anything other than like she just kind of wants to forget that everything happened.
Yeah, and wants to like work at her job at the hospital and get a promotion.
Yeah. But she's like, so we don't see her like going through trauma really, you know, she's not smoking drugs and doing all this stuff, you know? So it's like, why is she like this dude who is a creepy pedophile? And also, why did she date the 40-year-old cop?
Yeah, that's really got to be the biggest curve in this movie is like, that is fucking weird.
Because like those two things together immediately scream like issues.
I was, like I said, there's the scene where he pulls her over and I thought like, this is
at first
like,
I thought it was going to be
a creepy cop who flirts with her. And it's like, this is uncomfortable. Yeah. But then they admit that she dates and I'm like, Oh,
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't, that's gross.
Which is totally unnecessary because he's in two scenes.
Yeah.
He's the in first three. Scene. Oh, is it three?
He's in the, when he pulls her over, he's in the diner and he's when he dies.
Okay. I meant before he dies, he's in two scenes.
Yeah.
You can have him pull her over and be creepy to her. Mm-hmm. And it's a small town. So he's probably done this before.
Yeah.
Right. And then the diner scene, just have him do it again.
No, you just don't have the diner scene. You have him show up to a call of like a disturbance at the homeless camp. He finds the dead body.
Yeah, or that.
He sees like a trail towards that drainage hole. He goes in there and he gets killed by Michael. And that's how Michael gets his groove back.
Sure. But what I'm saying is
unassisted.
Yeah, what I'm saying though is like having them have a history makes that it makes that weird character choice that is completely unneeded. Because you can have the diner scene unchanged other than the fact that they did not date. You can have him, you know,
well, especially if in your version people are like think that Corey's the killer and he's like,
yeah,
why are you with this creepo? And he's like, man, get away from her, man. Uh-huh. I'll fight you. I got more charisma than the nerd in the original movie.
Yeah
someday, man, we're gonna have deep fake technology and we'll be able to like green screen ourselves into movies and like turn the acting into something better. Not saying I'm like an incredible actor, but I think I could be a little bit more charming than that dude.
Yeah.
oh, Dios mio. because I think there was one reveal and I laughed out loud. That's, I don't remember what character it was, but it was, their reaction was so bad. And I want to say it was one of the jock band nerds getting killed. They're just like, oh my God, like, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing for everyone involved. So what's the over under 10 years? So in 2038, you think there's going to be Halloween, a final Halloween film for 2038? So we had one in 98. We had one in 2018.
Uh-huh.
I think we'll be due.
28 at the latest.
You think we'll be that soon before they reboot this again, bring back Jamie Lee Curtis and kill Michael one more time?
There was a Friday the 13th reboot in 2010, 2009.
Mm-hmm. And then there's never been another film.
Never been, not another film. They haven't done the mini Netflix miniseries. They haven't done anything with it.
Yeah. Which is surprising. You'd think there'd be like Amazon original Camp Blood.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what is this camp? Oh, it's a Friday the 13th remake.
Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street. They did the reboot in 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. Nothing since.
Boom. Just fucking put the nail, the last bullet through those
are the big ones. Scream.
Just got rebooted. Yeah. Just
got a reboot and a reboot sequel.
Oh, didn't they make it a series too?
There was also a TV show that was after four, I think. So Scream is alive and barely kicking. Child's Play.
Got that reboot and then is dead.
Got the reboot. And no, it got a TV show last year.
Oh, it did?
There was a TV show miniseries last year on AMC.
I didn't see that.
I have no idea how it is.
Bad.
Probably bad. Hellraiser got the reboot and
just now.
Like that's it for the big slashers though.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre gets rebooted like every 10 days.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre got a reboot last year and no one watched it.
Yeah.
It was a Netflix original and no one saw it.
Yeah, no, they're and plus that franchise, like I said, they did like the original, then they did two movies, then they did Next Generation, then they did the like reboot, then they did Leatherface as a reboot, now this one. So just like it almost makes more sense to just keep rebooting the franchise than and like just at, we're going to tell basically the same story and just change up the kills.
Not only would it be a lot easier, that's kind of what everyone just wants.
Yeah.
Like you want inventive kills with tension, some memorable main characters, and you know, that's it.
You like seeing me stroke my pussy, Tim?
Yeah. What was I going to say? Anyways.
It's this movie is like definitely the franchise going out with a whimper. If they had left 2018 alone, despite its flaws, I would still be like Halloween 2018, one of the greatest soft reboots, one of the greatest late in life sequels ever.
Yeah.
But these movies have tarnished like my appreciation of that film because they undo so much that made that film work in the sequels. Mm-hmm. And I just, like if you haven't seen two ends and kills, just don't. Let's jump into that, Tim. Would you recommend Halloween?
Absolutely not.
Ends. Yeah.
Especially if you're a fan of the franchise. You know, a lot of times we were like, if you're really a fan of the franchise, you know, maybe give it a watch. If you're a fan of the franchise, do not watch.
Don't watch the last one and don't watch this one. Watch 2018 and then just fucking stick a pin in it. It's done. Until the reboot, of course. And
this is the last one to come out. This is the last one that came out.
Holy shit, he's got it right there. I'm like that with copies of Rhinestone.
Yeah.
I got a Betamax right over there. So, well, that's it. That's our review for Halloween Ends? Question mark. Such a bad naming schema.
If it was two movies, Halloween and Halloween Ends would have been fine.
Yeah. That would also be good. But anyway, that's our review. Thanks for listening. Tune into the regular show. Enjoy the other bonus content. And until next time, I'm Tad Burt.
Tim the Handlebreaker.
See ya.
See ya.